Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Better preach, Mike Golic Jr. Now it is Monday, and already the pressure is on. The heat is on the stove. And shout out to ESPN Plus. That visual is amazing, beautiful, of Connecticut with the lights. It almost looks like the Hollywood Hills. It's Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live on ESPN Plus. Janae Ogumike and Mike Golic Jr. holding it down this beautiful Monday. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline now. The pressure is on because it's not just the NBA with a number of injuries and stars dealing with adversity. It's also NFL draft week is like a week and some change away. And so the pressure is on there. And so in about 30 minutes, we'll talk about that third overall pick. The San Francisco 49ers made the move to get their potential quarterback there based on all these multiple pro days. But let's start this hour with hoops because right now I'm holding my Theragun still. We've been doing it in the break. Theragun is exactly what you use. It's like a massage tool that sort of vibrates that allows you as athletes to, you know, work on yourself. And so I'm getting ready, Junior. We are in quarantine officially for the WNBA season upcoming. That's why my voice is gone, because I'm screaming in the gym all the time. And
I do appreciate, by the way, that you're using that during breaks. And God love ESPN trying to do right by its employees. They put a bunch of those Theragun stations around headquarters here.
Oh, really?
And so, in theory, me, as a sports talk radio gas bag, could go over for some, you know, exercise relief during a break and use the Theragun the same way Chennai getting ready for her WNBA season is Theragunning right now.
So, like, I'm Theragunning my, like, neck. Is this what we're supposed to do for radio hosts? Because we talk for 3 hours. Probably not. The doctor doesn't advise that. But, yeah, I'm using my Theragun today, and I'm going to be using it for every day because the season is around the corner, Junior. But, you know, it's interesting because we parallel with the NBA, seeing them accomplish a season outside of the bubble. We're about to do the same thing. And there have been some challenges, and now we have the breaking news that Kevin Durant is ruled out of Tuesday night's game versus the Pelicans based on what we saw versus the Miami Heat. Now it's crazy, Junior, because, man, that Miami Heat finish, no one's talking about Bam Adebayo with the game winner.
Nope.
Everyone's talking about the quad contusion that Kevin Durant incurred in that matchup. And so, obviously, now we're in a situation where James Harden is currently out with a strained right hamstring, and he's missed the last 6 games. Kevin Durant has missed 33 games, count that 34 starting tomorrow, for various injuries and obviously safety protocols, I think once with COVID. And then Kyrie Irving, he's missed 15 games for various ailments and also a couple of personal absences. Junior, we talked to Mina Kimes, our ESPN NFL analyst, also a big Brooklyn Nets fan earlier. She was a little nervous. Who else said there were not? Alan Hahn, obviously, on ESPN Radio Family said level 1 out of 10 nervousness. Where do you gauge your nervousness, especially with this season, considering, like you pointed out before, the East is pretty beast right now?
Yeah, I would say nervousness on a scale of them winning the NBA Finals, which we've considered the standard ever since James Harden chose that team, is probably at like a 6 or a 7 right now. You mentioned all the games missed there. KD 34 now, Kyrie Irving 16, and James Harden's missed 10. No NBA champion, per ESPN Stats and Info, has ever had its 3 leading scorers in terms of point per games miss double-digit games in a season, meaning that the Brooklyn Nets are going to attempt to do something no one's ever done, which in some ways it's kind of felt like all season long, Chennai. And if there's any group I feel comfortable thinking could go out and embarrass me with their effort in the postseason, it's them. But I'm less worried, Chennai, about their cohesion, them going out and being able to do this with the time on the court together, and more concerned just about the road they have to go to should their seed continue to fall here. We know they were battling the 76ers for the number 1 overall seed not too long ago, but now they sit here, I think they're 1.5 behind the 76ers, Milwaukee's 4 behind there, and so now all of a sudden you start to make your road through this postseason look pretty tough in an Eastern Conference with a surging Celtics team, a Knicks team, and a Heat team that are going to be tough outs, especially defensively, for this Brooklyn squad that won't have that time together.
Yeah, today in Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, and it's crazy because as you think about the NBA season overall, and obviously Brooklyn on paper, it all makes sense between their talent. Even though you count those missed games, you still count on those stars delivering in different points. Kyrie Irving is sensational with the basketball. James Harden has been reliable, even though I think they're being very careful with how they use him, considering how much load he has carried from Houston, literally now, to Brooklyn. And then, of course, Kevin Durant coming back from injury. It's good to be cautious. And also, you know, we just dealt with a couple days ago LaMarcus Aldridge, his retirement, which was really humbling, right? And then you're dealing with Blake Griffin as well. the road, even though they have a lot of the talent, Junior, the road is not necessarily more easy. It just is probably higher pressure in these key pressure moments. And that to me is what I think is going to be super fascinating. We might see for the first time a championship won amongst a massive super team that literally found their chemistry in the playoffs alone, because we're now dealing with 17, 16, 15 games remaining in the schedule, which to me is going to be so much fun to watch. We're going to see in real time, can you scrap together stars and win a championship? And while it may look easy, I think that it's literally the talent dictating how easy it looks, how easy it is for Kevin Durant to step out there and be great, how easy it is for James Harden to be a chameleon and find whatever role, how easy it is for Kyrie Irving at 6'2" and some change, or 3 and some change, wherever he classifies himself is, to finish at the rim. They make it look easy when the path is not necessarily that easy.
I will say this, Chiné, the one thing that's become apparent to me during this stretch, because we've had so many instances with different combinations of these guys on and off the court, that we've very clearly seen the hierarchy borne out here of who they need. Like, in the postseason, you could tell me we might not even see this fully healthy roster through the first round or so in here, and I'd say, well, as long as it's James Harden out there leading, I feel pretty comfortable, because Kyrie Irving is a spectacular player. Kyrie Irving's outstanding handles and all that, but he was very open and personally accountable last night after the game, saying he didn't believe he was getting guys the ball in the spots that they need and all that. Jhené, we've seen this team when it's just Kyrie out there. Kyrie Irving last night, I know KD went out, ended up losing to a Jimmy Butler-less, largely starless Heat team in that game. That is not a loss they could afford with Kyrie Irving leading, if you want me to believe that in the postseason he could get you by in a spot, because I don't think that's the case.
Hold up. Are we talking just about like Kyrie and James, or is Kevin Durant in the mix there for like who you need leading?
Oh, no. I mean, listen, Kevin Durant's kind of, to me, the known unknown, if that makes sense. Meaning we've seen so little of him with this current roster, Chiné, but past precedence with this guy says to me, if you get him out there and he is healthy, which is the huge if for a 7-footer coming off an Achilles injury, I know what I'm getting out of that guy, and I know it's good enough, even if it's on his own probably in this spot. I would say James Harden, in a level of importance, has never looked more important than he has recently with Kyrie out there running the point, because James is just better in that role. It's why they slotted the way they did to begin with.
I can mess with that. You can see me thinking. Like, I can sort of mess with that just because James Harden has been amazing when he's been out there, and it's not just the production, like what we see from Kyrie. And we, you know, I talked to Rudy Gobert maybe a month or so ago, and he's like, you know what, it's those sexy plays that people talk about that create championship basketball, and that's where we put all of the recognition on. But really, it's the stuff in between, leading the league in assists, showing up each and every game, getting the ball to the shooters. And I've said, Junior, the one thing that might make James Harden's case most important is that Kyrie did hand him the keys and say, you have the rock, which means in decision making times, James Harden is going to be the one with the ball in his hands saying, like, all right, like, is Kyrie hot, or am I going to kick it to KD, or am I going to knock down the shot myself? And so, yeah, Kyrie is so special in big moments, and that's the luxury that this Brooklyn Nets team has, that if there's a moment, he can assume to it, but he doesn't have to be relied upon for each and every moment. And that's where James Harden shows out, and then at the end of the day, all else fails, pass to KD.
And I think that, but you're right, that speaks to exactly what we've seen from all of them historically, right? James came from a place in Houston where he had to be the guy, and he had to be the guy too much in a lot of instances for the health of that team. Kyrie Irving has always, in his best instances, gotten to be the 1B, the 2, the second in command in a great team. And Kevin Durant, at the end of the day, is just the guy that's going to be able to get you a bucket in any situation possible. That, yeah, he may not be the straw that serves the drink, but he's the rest of the drink. He is the one that goes in there and is immediately better than everyone else in that process. He is the full-on drink. That's with an A for everyone not hip to that. Now, coming up next, though, we've had a conversation about influence today, impact. LeBron James and Steph Curry, who's impacted the game more in the last two decades and changed the landscape. Coming up next, we're going to talk about one player who I think is a direct beneficiary of what LeBron James has brought to the on-court game in the NBA. We'll get to that next. Chiné Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Chiné Angola Jr., the podcast.
Honestly, Junior, real talk, I am so tired, but not for what you normally expect. It's Chiné Angola Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. Shanae Ogumake and Mike Golic Jr. Now, I'm tired because obviously the NFL draft, all those conversations, pretty much feels when it comes to quarterbacks, it's like a seesaw. It's a seesaw, Junior, especially at three. And so in about 10 minutes, you know, especially after these latest pro days, Trey Lance, the latest one in the mix, in about 10 minutes, we'll talk about that third overall pick. And maybe, Junior, you can just help me balance things out because, man, I don't know where we're going to be in 2 days and 4 days and 8 days, and then we'll be at the draft and finally we can get the answers we deserve.
We got to light some incense and all get through the next week and a half. And we're going to do our best around here to try and get you through that point. We're going to get you ready with some positional previews of the upcoming draft outside of just the quarterback stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But, Shanae, it has also been exceptionally maddening. You're right. From Trevor Lawrence, the number one overall prospect, having to apparently apologize and explain himself because he's got interest other than the weird oblong pigskin to what we've dealt with at the three spot. I feel bad because this is really, like we talked about this, this is you really diving into the draft for the first time in a deep, meaningful way, getting into all the mocks with us. And I don't want you to leave with a bad taste in your mouth, even though this is exactly how we finish every draft cycle. So
honestly,
this is perfect.
Honestly, I wish the draft was like tomorrow. So then I'm like, see, this is who they picked, okay? Let's just take it. But we'll do that in about 10 minutes. But I want to wrap things up, especially, you know, with the NBA based on the conversations we had, Junior, because Kevin Durant and James Harden obviously have made their own real impacts on the game. I mean, James Harden in that step back, which is now cool, but when he was in Houston, it wasn't, but I digress here. Kevin Durant, you know, his impact on the game being unguardable. But it's crazy because over the weekend, Steph Curry has entered the chat, and he pretty much stole the mic, demolished everything, because he dropped 47 points versus the Boston Celtics. Yo, he was 11 of 19 from three, from deep. And this was his third in the last week performance of at least 10 three-pointers in a game. Now, let me tell you this, Junior, right? Steph had 36 threes in the last week, right? The Orlando Magic, 33 as a team. Sacramento Kings, 33. Washington Wizards, 29. And the Pelicans, 26. Now, the Pelicans don't need threes when they've got Zion, but I digress. It's crazy that Steph has outshot teams by himself. Now, obviously, this coming back on the timeline, Junior, basically brought up the conversation. Once you have Steph Curry achieving, a lot of people say, well, who has had the bigger impact overall in the game of basketball? And obviously the comparison is to LeBron James. And we asked Matt Barnes, NBA champ, not too long ago, who joined us on the show. You can check out the podcast for that conversation. We asked him, hey, who has more impact after what we just saw from Steph? And he said that LeBron is great, but Steph actually has had the bigger impact.
I think Steph has had a bigger impact on basketball. And I say that because the complete dynamic of the game has changed now. And I'm fortunate enough to be able to coach my twin boys who are 12 at a young age. I mean, these kids, Janae, when I tell you, when they start warming up, they start shooting from almost out of bounds. I'm like, yo, what about coming to the basket, get some layups, get your touch? And they're like, no, Dad, this is how we get warm. So they don't even come to the paint to get warm anymore. And it's just from watching, you know, guys like Steph and Clay. So I definitely think over the last 30, 40 years, I think Steph Curry has had the biggest impact from a standpoint is he's kind of completely changed the way the basketball game is played. You would never think to get transition threes when I first came in the NBA. Like, you run for layups, you run for dunks. Now people from the NBA down to the AAU little kids are running to the three-point line in transition, and that is strictly because of Steph.
Shanae Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Shanae Ogumake. To that end, Shanae, you go back to the 2010-2011 season. The New York Knicks led the NBA with an average of 9.3 made threes per game. This year, the Utah Jazz lead was 16.9 made threes per game. Like, it's just a different sport in the way we've approached that. And I think Steph deserves a ton of credit for that, Shanae. I think he absolutely has changed the game or helped facilitate that change in the game in that regard. That being said, are we going to not look around at the current landscape of basketball with what's gone on in Brooklyn, with what we saw happen with the Clippers, what we saw happen with the Lakers, with what we see happening, hell, right now in New York, where the charge for the Knicks is, hey, create a culture and an atmosphere good enough for you to recruit star players to who are actually going to help you win this championship. Like, LeBron James has changed team building in the NBA, at least for the very near future. It's become abundant that unless you can tie together a couple of superstars, and more often than not, it's going to happen of their own volition, you're not going to win much of anything in this league. And so I think that aspect of the game can't go overstated with what LeBron's done in that regard.
You know, Junior, I think there's a distinction to what LeBron James has done. It's not just about building super teams. It's about one of your favorite words, recruiting, how you recruit them. And while we have seen talented duos or trios over the course of NBA history, the way LeBron James did it going to Miami, obviously Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade, but he and D Wade were boys, you know, and this is something where you have two of these alphas that end up figuring out a hierarchy and it works out. Next thing you know, he goes back to Cleveland, which I feel like he always had eyes probably on Los Angeles. He's just like, let me just handle business here because I can't be the son of Akron, the son of Ohio, not deliver a championship. Nice little pit stop, and then goes to Los Angeles. And it's not like, oh, LeBron is here. It's like, I've got eyes on Anthony Davis. And what do I need to do? And we joke about it even at NBA All-Stars. LeBron James is playing with Steph, and that looks really good. Like, you know, we make these great leaps and bounds, and that's largely not just from building super teams, but how active these stars are now in trying to build them up themselves and go cruting. So much so that you've seen the Warriors do the same thing with Kevin Durant. The Hamptons. Yeah, the Hamptons with, like, Draymond and all of them, like, trying to get KD.
The Hampton Five.
There we go. The Hampton Five. Was that Cliff? Thanks, Cliff, for your... Yeah. Was that Cliff?
No, it was me. I thought of that on my own.
It was me, yes. Thank you. I'm taking all the credit, yes.
Oh, it was you. But, like, it's crazy because that is the difference with LeBron James. It's not just forming teams, but it's also, like, subverting, like, realizing you're the most powerful person in the room and no one can stop you. And we're seeing the repercussions of that because, my goodness, Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving in Brooklyn... And now everyone else, they're now the new Mecca that has attracted stars that, hey, I don't like my place. I'm going to get a buyout. And guess what? I might as well get a cash out on a championship while I'm in this buyout. And that's the new nature in which NBA players are exerting their influence. And it started with LeBron James.
It did, because, Chiney, LeBron James isn't the first star to use his weight to try and get things done around his organization. But he's the first one, I think, who's done it as effectively as he has, on the move as much as he had, to where we're considering an all-time great who's going to have played for three different teams over the course of his career, at least. It has introduced what I will dub the Ariana Grande method of building teams. I see it, I like it, I want it, I got it. Because that's how he's gone about building these teams wherever he's gone here.
I thought it was seven rings. Like, we're pursuing seven rings. Like, well, I thought you're going to go there with Ariana. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, listen, see, it works in more than one ways. You want to build a team.
Or was it six?
Ariana Grande is a good place to start. It was seven rings.
Okay.
It was seven rings. It was a bop, and it speaks to all of this. I will say, because we talked about him a lot today, you look at players like Zion Williamson right now who have come up and become point Z during the point of the season. That is a direct reflection of what LeBron James has brought to the NBA. A player who came in as a three, as a four, and has now worked his way to that point forward. Has made it so, all right, if you have a high IQ player who you trust handling the ball, you're going to put him out in front and let him go to work.
Look, he's been cooking. 34 points even in the loss, but still end up with a win because he gave New York some love, okay?
It's a beautiful thing. He did give New York a lot of love in that one, and we appreciate that about Zion. He looked, he sees this nice, pretty little thing off in the distance, and he understands probably in the back of his mind, Chiney, we remember going into that draft how much New York was hoping, praying, wishing that they could shoot their shot and get Zion in the garden, and it didn't work out. Don't think Zion's forgotten about that, because clearly, with the eyes that he put on that organization in that press conference, he hasn't forgotten a damn thing, and I'm sure Knicks fans aren't going to forget it either. But coming up next, we'd all like to probably forget the next couple of weeks and the things that we're going to say and do in the name of quarterbacks. But we had one of the five best quarterbacks in the NFL draft go out for a second pro day. How much of an effect have these actually had on the bottom line of what the team at the third pick, the 49ers, are going to do ultimately when it comes to next Thursday? We'll get to that next. Chiney and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Chiney and Golic Jr., the podcast. Surviving quarterback chaos.
Who is that quarterback? Like, to me, it's a...
While getting ready for the NFL draft.
NFL draft is officially open.
Spend your mornings with the NFL and Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
Continuity. That's why I love Cliff on the board. We had a number of retirements over the last few days. Obviously, I mentioned LaMarcus Aldridge, and now one in the National Football League that has also inspired so many. We will celebrate him in a few minutes as we keep that same energy. But first, it's Janae Ogwumike Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. Janae Ogwumike, Mike Golick Jr. holding it down this beautiful Monday. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Now, Junior, I alluded to it, and I got my energy back up. All right, let's get down to business, because obviously I would say that one of my favorite moves on the court is the pump fake, right? And being immersed in this NFL draft process, I'm like very cognizant that we might be getting pump faked a lot when it comes to quarterbacks. Now, it's funny because obviously we have spectacular reporting, and Trey Lance conducted his second pro day today in North Dakota. And obviously the San Francisco 49ers were there to, you know, cross all the T's and dot all the I's after, you know, we know that their upcoming third pick on Thursday next week has a lot of pressure based on the potentials there in this quarterback rich draft. Now, a lot report that Mac Jones is a target, right, of the third overall pick. But now we're here at another pro day for Trey Lance. And we actually asked our friend Mina Kimes, ESPN NFL analyst, what she thinks that the 49ers should do with that third pick versus what probably is best that they do.
I defer to our reporters who have been saying that it sounds like they favor Mac Jones. So I think at this point it seems likely. It's also hard for me to believe they make that trade without a leader in the clubhouse in mind. But that said, Trey Lance, who had his second pro day today, I think would be a phenomenal pick for him, for San Francisco, given his skill set. We've seen him play under center with the kind of play action and the bootlegs that San Francisco likes. The offense is a little bit different. North Dakota State, of course. But, you know, there are some questions about his accuracy, and I think he could use some time to get reps, which he could have behind Jimmy Garoppolo in that offense. To me, that's the high upside pick. And it would make a lot of sense for the Niners, given how much they gave up for it.
Janae Ogwumike Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golick Jr. and Janae Ogwumike. And what Mina keeps bringing up is the value of that pick. It's greater than just the three spot because of what it took to get there. And the kind of upside in Trey Lance would be exactly what you'd be shooting for in that spot, knowing you've got Jimmy Garoppolo as a backstop, who, when he has been healthy, has been more than good enough to win you a lot of games in San Francisco. But today, I look at everything Mina just described there, and she's right. North Dakota State's offense uses a ton of multiple tight ends, fullback stuff in there, stuff that Kyle Shanahan loves with Kyle Juszczyk, with George Kittle, and that San Fran offense. He's been under center more than most every quarterback in this draft class, and they run a lot of those same play-action concepts she's been talking about. That also applies in a lot of ways to Justin Fields. Now, maybe less a lot of the under center work at Ohio State, but that was a team that loved to move the pocket. Justin Fields is a quarterback that, when he gets to roll out, you put him on the run, is one of the most accurate quarterbacks we'll talk about in this draft, and that includes Trevor Lawrence and what he was able to accomplish in his time, now going to lead him to be the number one overall pick. And so if you're looking for kind of a marriage of both, where it's, all right, he may not be as raw as Trey Lance, Justin Fields forged in the fire. He's played in two college football playoff semis. He's fresh off a national championship appearance at a big-time program like Ohio State, with also room for that upside of, okay, as you develop him now, we've heard about Ohio State's offense, more option routes down the field, going to spend more time on your one and two receivers. Well, now with Kyle Shanahan, you're going to be in an offense that's going to do you even more favors in scheming guys open and really unlock even more of the unbelievable ability. That's the 4-4-4 we saw him run his 40 time in at his pro day. That's some of that ability as a rusher that, quite frankly, I don't think Ohio State used enough in his time as a Buckeye. And so all those things are why, yeah, Trey Lance would be a great upside pick. Mina's absolutely right if we're talking him relative to Mac Jones. But in my mind, Justin Fields is still the overwhelmingly right pick at this spot.
And Junior, as I was loving ESPN Plus, and that final, you know, take was like literally you're talking about him rushing the ball, and it's like him running into the end zone. It was beautiful, beautiful. I was actually listening to what Mina said, and I was like, hold up. So if she likes Trey Lance potentially for that upside, and, you know, sometimes if you're going to risk a lot to get that pick, you probably want more upside than playing it safe, right? Does that mean that clearly we get a lot of Justin Fields love from you, which is great. Ohio State, Notre Dame, wow. You know,
who'd have thunk it? Yeah,
who would have thought?
Wild.
Do you think, and as someone who has spent a lot of time, you know, on her podcast, that maybe she even thinks at two, you know, Justin Fields should take more consideration there? Because it seems like that's where you side. Like, it's not a foregone conclusion that Zach Wilson should be that pick. I know the Jets might be obviously in love with that, but like, based on the quarterback talent, it's like Justin Fields probably is even better than what that position potentially could be at three in that pick slot, meaning he could be in the mix at two as well.
Yeah, I would think he should. I don't know Mina's thoughts on that personally, but Chiné, I know after a while, I can only look at this for so long. The 49ers, there at least appears to be some mystery about it. Who knows? We had Baker Mayfield, who was not the consensus number one overall, really in the days leading up to the draft a few years ago. All of a sudden, we heard that reporting start to come out. All of a sudden, the tides changed on that really quickly for the Browns at number one. And so maybe there's a chance for something like that, where we've assumed this all along and we've been wrong. But if all the reporting is going to continue to point that way for Zach Wilson, I can say till I'm blue in the face that I think Justin Fields is a better quarterback. Might be different. Zach Wilson, what he can do off platform is the sexy buzzword now that Patrick Mahomes has been hot on the street for a while here. And Zach Wilson might offer you some more of that, but it just seems like the Jets are so married to him that the Niners didn't even bother to call. That seems pretty telling.
And do you think then it's system, right? Because if it comes to decision-making by these franchises, these organizations, the 49ers, clearly you might be the better quarterback, but it's like, all right, we're going to make a system play. And that's what really makes me think, like, yo, if you're going to make the risk out of there and you're going to play it safe with system instead of actually getting the better quarterback with the upside, that's my seesaw, Junior. That is officially my seesaw.
Well, and that's people trying to figure out, because Kyle Shanahan has his history with wanting Kirk Cousins coming out of college, passing on guys to wait and get to him, making the choice. And we've seen him have to address it, him have to come out in a press conference and say, guys, I don't have some unhealthy obsession with Kirk Cousins as a quarterback. But it's this idea of how much does Kyle Shanahan value what he brings to the table the way we all do. We look at him as a great play caller and we say, man, what that's worth in the modern NFL to have a guy who scheme-wise is going to put you so far ahead of most instances. How much does he believe in that and saying, all right, I believe I can set the floor, and I only need a quarterback to do so much for me. He got to a Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo, who we all believe is basically dead dog average. And so maybe he looks and says, if I'm going to go forward with this, I trust myself to hit the floor, and I just want someone who I can control the puppet strings on, who's going to operate my offense the way he watched Mac Jones operate that great offense at Alabama. So it's a hubris play on the part of him, on the part of Mac Jones.
I'm level again. Thank you for that.
There we go. We're trying to just zen everybody out here. But coming up next, we'll tell you a place it's going to be real easy for one NFL team to feel completely calm and at peace with whatever happens in the first round. The best draft setup for 2021 by far. Next here, Chiné and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Chiné and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Y'all, it's been so much fun. It's been an amazing way to start the week. I appreciate each and every one of you. Chiné and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. Chiné Ogwumike and Mike Golic Jr. holding it down as we get going. And obviously, people that held us down today, Matt Barnes, NBA champion, and also one of the hosts of All the Smoke, the podcast. He joined and not only plugged his son's podcast, which is awesome, the Barnes Bros, but also talked to us about how worried we should be about Brooklyn, the Brooklyn Nets, after Kevin Durant's thigh contusion. He is out. That's the breaking news. He is out versus the Pelicans on Tuesday, and we discovered that today. And we also talked to Brooklyn Nets superfan Mina Kimes, also ESPN NFL analyst and one of the co-hosts of NFL Live. She is actually worried about the Nets, but it's all good. But she's also a little bit worried about San Francisco and that third overall pick based on what we heard from her. And of course, today was fun largely because we got to talk to Taylor Twellman, Sports Nation host, also ESPN soccer analyst. He broke down the proposed European Super League, which is like hotly, I'm telling you, I have WhatsApp for like conversations, Junior, and that's like international thing. Yeah. And my goodness, the amount of uncles in my group chat. I have an uncle that we literally call Man U, like Manchester United. Like we call him Man U, like Uncle Man U, because he's like a super fan. The amount of people talking about this proposed idea, which would feature 12 of Europe's biggest clubs, 12 clubs announced their intention to break away from Europe's governing body, UEFA, and form their own league. So that's a lot of drama. And Taylor joined us to break all of that down. It was fun. It was Monday. Super fun show. And I guess it's time, you know, before my voice. I don't know if my voice is going to make it through the week. I'm in training camp. I'm going to drink tea. But we're going to, most importantly, keep that same energy.
We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You could just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Jhené and Golic Jr.
Before we keep that same energy with everything we've planned, I do want to take time to, A, point out that Jhené Iwuemeke just hit us with a very low-key bar right there. With the sore voice and everything. And that our show's baseball team, the Padres, went out here and snapped a 7-game losing streak against the Dodgers this weekend. They avoided the sweep, and Jhené, Fernando Tatis Jr.'s fancy footwork at third helped get them to that dub right now. We have been rewarded for sticking it out with this team after that Tatis shoulder injury.
Is this a safe space?
Yes.
They were on a 7-game losing streak?
Against the Dodgers overall, okay. Like going back to last year's postseason.
Oh,
they had a struggle.
Oh, against the Dodgers specifically. I thought it was in general. I was like, hold up. Wait, let me tap back in.
No.
Okay.
We're good to go on there. So big shout out to the Padres for holding it down. Big 4-game series coming up against those Dodgers this weekend. But keeping that same energy, Jhené, we had an announcement. Longtime NFL quarterback Alex Smith retiring after 16 seasons, the former number one overall pick, who's going to turn 37 next month, put out a 2-minute Instagram video talking about the people that helped him along the road to get here. And after what we saw this past season, the Project 11 E60 is a great watch to
yes.
try and find out what brought Alex Smith back from one of the most gruesome leg injuries we'll ever see.
And the reporting and also storytelling by Stefania Bell, our ESPN NFL insider as well. I mean, my goodness, it's so great to exit on his own terms after accomplishing so much this past season. So salute to him. Snaps.
Absolutely. Snaps for Alex Smith. Like you said, his own terms and what he came back from will make you romantic about sports because they put that football in his hands and he said it changed the whole trajectory of his rehab. Keeping that same energy, though, let's talk about trajectory. Because Miles Bridges is constantly on trajectory for destroying rims. There is no greater duo in the NBA right now than Miles Bridges and Hornets play-by-player announcer Eric Collins, who listened to this call from Bally Sports Southeast, losing his bleeping mind yet again for Miles Bridges' assault on the rim.
He stood out and dribbled the ball for 10 seconds and said, I'm coming at you.
My mind is blown. How do you do? We need to get Eric Collins on the show here at some point soon. Because today, Miles Bridges isn't apparently going to stop destroying rims. So Aaron Collins is going to have to invest in throat lozenges the way we are.
Myself as well. And I love how people, he now has this huge reputation to dunk on people that the health defense is like, you got that, bro. Like, just go ahead and do your thing. I'm not going to be in this highlight.
Yeah, I can say, there's no help for what he's dishing out right there. Get out of the way
help.
And try your luck better next time. Now, speaking of better, you remember Cliff Kingsbury's draft setup from last year, Jhené? Everyone looking at him, trying to thirst trap in his couch in his big mansion out in Arizona.
Yes.
Well, the Rams have decided to get in on the action. The Rams have converted a Malibu beach house into their draft war room, and it'll be operating out of it for this year's draft. This is unbelievable. It is a sponsored Malibu beach house, Jhené. They don't even have a pick in the first round this year or next year or like the next 1,000 years into oblivion. This is the new standard. All in.
Can we like make sure our bosses watch this and like can we convert that for Jhené and Golic Jr.? Like, let's just make that happen.
I was going to say, the ESPN radio beach house for the draft sounds like a great idea. Jhené, we are willing to go out there and cover this on the company's behalf.
There's a goat in the house or a ram, sorry.
There is a ram in the house. There is Rampage, the ram, also their stuffed mascot in there. So all around, Jhené, pretty excellent setup. But this is the cherry on top. We talk about the draft. The number one overall pick, Trevor Lawrence, tweeted this yesterday. Thank you to Jags fans. We really appreciate the wedding gifts and donations for charities of our choice. Apparently, Jaguars fans had found their registry and had been donating to choices charities of his support. He said, Marissa and I, his wife, will be donating $20,000 to charities in Jacksonville. Thanks again. We hope to be a part of your community soon. That, Jhené, is how you show people you know you're going to be the number one overall pick without having to say you're going to be the number one overall pick.
And it doesn't
matter
what y'all talk about, okay? Like, I love it. And by the way, that $20,000 in about 2 years is going to be like $200,000.
Exactly. This is only the beginning, Jacksonville. Once he gets some of that fine money, your front office is going to dish out his way. Look at that, everyone. he wants to and believes he's going to be the number one overall pick so much he threw $20,000 behind the cause. Excellent stuff from Trevor Lawrence. Hopefully more great stuff from Spain and Fitz next.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.